a grace and joy it is for us to gather on this holy night and to celebrate the Eucharist. Tonight's liturgy reminds us that the word Bethlehem means house of bread. And the Lord Jesus feeds us tonight with the bread of life as we celebrate the magnificence of his birth. What a grace it is for me to join with you in prayer. And it's my first Christmas here as Bishop of Madison. And I just praise and thank God for that tremendous privilege as well. Just this past October, I was blessed to do a three-day mission at a parish in Illinois. And on the second morning of it, I went over to visit the school. And at 11 o'clock, I had donuts with the kindergartners right before lunch. They had donuts. And I was eating this donut with this little five-year-old boy, and he looked up at me and he said, "You're a long way from heaven, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am, but why do you feel the need to comment on that, right?" And in talking further, I realized that he thought I had come in this spaceship from heaven to visit his school. The beauty of a five-year-old's faith, right? I ponder that little encounter tonight because we celebrate something tonight that is even far more astonishing, miraculous, and saving than a simple human being coming from heaven. Because tonight we celebrate the absolute truth at the center of our faith that God came from heaven, that the Son of God came from heaven to earth, that the eternal Word became flesh, that God comes to us in human form, that the invisible, mysterious, transcendent, all-powerful God humbles himself to become one of his own creatures. And you'd think if God went through all of that, he'd at least be born in a palace or be born with a blare of trumpets or come in earthly power so that people could easily recognize him for who he was. But tonight we honor his humility and his poverty in the simplicity of the creche that is before us. That Jesus is born on the outskirts of the Roman Empire to itinerant parents who are poor and unknown. That's how God breaks into the world, silently, humbly, peacefully. And the angels appear not to the important people, but to shepherds, rough, uneducated, living at night out in their fields. When we hear the Christmas story, this ageless narrative of the birth of Christ, we are reminded that God's love for us is so passionate, so powerful, so overwhelming, that Jesus comes to break through every barrier that keeps us from being in right relationship with God. So tonight reminds us that grace is far more powerful than sin, that life has the final word over death, that love will always conquer hatred, that the kingdom of God is far more powerful and effective than the kingdom of evil, and that we have been reborn as children of light, that we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven, that we are destined to live forever with God, and we have the promise of the forgiveness of our sins. That should make us get up and dance when we realize the enormity of the gift that is offered to us. And it's sheer grace. We did nothing to deserve it. God came to us not because we were so lovable and deserving, but precisely because we weren't. And so he loves us in our unlovableness. He rescues us in our sin. He snatches us from the jaws of death and brings us into life. And so because of tonight, the kingdom of God has been unleashed into the pages of human history. Because of tonight, a whole new understanding of the dignity of the human person emerged in the early centuries of the church. Because of tonight, educated and simple people, wealthy and poor, gave up their lives rather than their faith as martyrs and astounded the princes of this world. Because of tonight, universities and cathedrals rose up all over Europe in the Middle Ages. Because of tonight, missionaries boarded wooden ships and sailed to countries they had never been to speak the gospel to people they had never met and to introduce them to Jesus, whom they did not know. Because of tonight, a wrinkled woman in a sari picked up abandoned people out of the gutters of Calcutta. And when asked why she was doing this, she said, "Because I love you, because I see Jesus in you." Because of tonight, the church for the last 2,000 years has been the herald of the gospel, the celebrator of the sacraments, and the great voice of truth and justice and mercy in this world. So whatever in your life, whatever in my life is broken, sinful, dead, whatever in our life is a struggle, whatever grief or illness or distress or conflict tears at our hearts, tonight is the great proclamation that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our questions. He is the healer of all of our ills, and he is the solution to all of our trials. And when we hand our life over to him, and when we give ourselves to faith and prayer and the sacraments and this beautiful life of discipleship that the church offers us, we realize our beauty and dignity. We know that there's no darkness that can snuff out this light, because the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And a child is born to us tonight. Sadly, I read this morning in the news that tonight, for the first time in 200 years, Midnight Mass was not celebrated in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris because of the terrible fire there last April. First time in 200 years. Thankfully, they were able to save all the relics and the windows. And when I've been blessed to be in that astounding cathedral, the most beautiful thing that captivates my eye is the rose window in back or in front. And at the center of it, at the center of this millions of pieces of colored glass, is the image of the Blessed Mother holding the child Jesus. In the first circle are the apostles. Next circle are other saints. Circle after that are ordinary people of the time. Circle after that is the world of nature. Animals, plants, stars, planets. It represents the divine cosmology of all that has been created, with Jesus Christ at the center. If you take Jesus Christ out of the center of that window, it falls apart. If we do not put Jesus Christ at the center of our life, we fall apart. And our life loses its purpose, its hope, and its meaning. But as it is, the Lord Jesus has come to save us. And tonight we see on full display the entire drama of salvation. Here's Jesus' birth. Here's Jesus' death. And in a few moments, we will have the fullness of the resurrection on this altar, which is the fullness of the resurrection. Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, right here. This panorama of salvation offered to us. And all we have to do is allow the Lord to love us and open our hearts to the power of his grace. I wish all of you a blessed and joyful and peaceful Christmas. May you know in this celebration of Christmas, in somehow an even deeper way, the profundity of God's love for you, the importance of your life, the imperishable nature of your soul, the beauty of our existence, and the fact that all of it matters, even the little details of our lives matter, because when we offer that to God as an oblation of the heart, he accepts it as a tremendous gift indeed, just as he offers himself to us. So for all of that, we give great praise and thanks, and we glorify God tonight. Have a blessed and holy Christmas.